Oh, shut it off. There you go.
6 p.m. January 14th, 2025. We bring the study session. Board of Directors call the city to order. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, first item is Resolution 12025, designating polling places. This is an annual deal that we have to set up our polling places as where to where I post agendas and any public hearings and stuff, and that's it. Just listed all there as the United States Post Office in Colorado City, the Post Office in Rye, our front of the building here, and also on our website.
Any questions? Housekeeping, right?
Housekeeping.
Has this changed at all?
No. Resolution, next one is Resolution 225. This is resolution to set meeting dates. I didn't include the meeting dates, but it shows every Tuesday, second Tuesday, and last Tuesday of it. It hasn't changed. I believe we'll be okay this year because SDA is usually the 12th through the 14th, and our second meeting in September is like the 8th. So we shouldn't have a conflict like we normally do. But it all depends where the SDA sets up their meeting for a conference.
Questions, board? Jim, does this follow, by not posting actual dates, does it follow the state guidelines?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll post them. I'll post the dates out on the front with the resolution.
Okay.
Okay, so Resolution 3-2025 election for 2025. You have two directors that will be election, which would be Sarah and Greg. Greg is term limited. Sarah, it's up to her whether she wants to run or not. And so that's where we're at with it. The only thing is I need a DEO. Normally we used James Naren. I know the restrictions have gotten tighter as to it, but usually when the Pueblo County takes over our election, the DEO will collect the applications and stuff for running, and then after we get, if we go to an election, then Pueblo County, their DEO takes over for our DEO.
So how come you're not DEO like in the past?
There was a issue with previous board members that they felt that having the director as DEO hurt them. So
okay.
And I wouldn't mind doing it because I end up doing the work anyway, so it don't matter to me.
So is it I don't know, because I just don't know, is it our position then that if the county's going to take over the election anyway, that Jim can't be DEO, or is that the position of the board now? I don't know.
Because usually,
the county's going to take it over anyway.
Yes.
So SDA has training sessions that are pretty extensive for DEOs.
Yeah.
But that's for the DEOs to go on through the process. I don't know that there's any reason that he couldn't. But I guess maybe my question is, who all can be a DEO?
Because in the past, what we did was we had James Naren as the DEO, and like Christy was the assistant DEO, where she could accept the applications up front at the desk. So it'd be kind of the same situation where you can make me the DEO and Sandy, that she accepts them and brings them to me, and I review them and I go through to make sure that they have a legal address or that they are a property owner of Colorado City to move forward.
That still doesn't answer my question, though. Did the board develop a policy?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's all.
No.
I guess a question maybe, Jim, is that have you talked to James Naren? Do you think that it would be too cumbersome for him?
No, I haven't, but I can. I can get with him.
We have time to get a DEO, don't we?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm not, I don't have a policy issue either way.
Okay.
Because self-nominations, all candidates must file a self-nomination and acceptance form with the designated election official no later than January 1st, nor no later the close of business date on February 28th. So you have the whole month of February to get
self-nominations.
Yes.
So I guess as far as having James do it versus you do it, the reason for that, as far as I'm concerned, would be you don't need any more stuff on your plate.
It don't matter. Like I said, I've done it in the past anyway.
He does all the work anyway.
Probably so.
I don't care, but that's up to the board, of course.
Okay.
No, I don't have an issue with it.
I don't either.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, next we have A Squared proposal for sewer plant. And Jensen is here.
Jensen?
So this is to put in VFDs and sensors that would regulate how much air needs to be pumped into our digesters and things like that to make it more efficient and also follow state guidelines as to, because right now the way we do it is on a time basis. It isn't off of what it is. So we did have an energy audit done, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yes.
But they turned around and they put the wrong town in it, if you remember.
I remember that.
And the thing is with it, it would almost pay for itself within 4 years. If we had done it when we first started this, it was about $84,000, and now it's doubled. And it would have been paid off by our electricity savings, too, by this time. One of the reasons I look at this is Jensen knows our system. He is in our SCADA process that if we hire somebody else, then they're in his business, in our business, and it makes it a jumbled up mess. And with security the way it is now, I don't need somebody putting in a back door to our SCADA system. That's one of the reasons why I would rather trust Jensen doing it. You basically, the price on equipment is what the price you get it for, right?
Yeah, plus my 25% markup. Yeah.
Well, can you give us a break on the 25% markup?
So Gary and I were talking about it. There might be a little bit in there that we can mess with, you know, some. But the one thing that concerns me, and this is up and beyond this, is the new administration and tariffs. So if we don't do it, I don't know what the price is going to be after the tariffs come into play, because they are overseas parts. You know, we can't get a American-made VFD. So that's one caveat to this is if we don't do it now and we're going to do it later, and we have tariffs in play, prices go up. The operators are the ones that brought this to me years ago. We have the equipment to do it, minus the VFDs. We have the PLCs. We have the SCADA to do it. It's, in my opinion, silly not to do it. Based on energy savings, right now you're just starting the blowers, running them for 45 minutes or 30 minutes or a time frame.
And they go 100%.
Okay, so what we're talking about then is that it's kind of like a slow startup, like a warm-up?
So it's a VFD, it's a variable frequency drive.
Okay.
The idea of a VFD is to be able to take the startup ramp, the startup curve, and flatten that out a little bit over a period of time. Plus, if we don't need 0 to 100% right away, we can go 0 to 70%, to 62%.
Okay.
Whatever we need, we're not wasting energy because we don't need it for the process.
Mm-hmm. What San Isabel Electric told me, that 12:05 in the morning, one of those blowers comes on, it ramps up to 100% instantly. From then on, the rest of the day, we're at peak demand, and that's what the city will pay all day, everywhere.
Damn.
So they run us over the coals with that.
Now, I don't know that VFDs are gonna stop that, but you may not hit peak usage at midnight, you might hit it at 6 a.m. or whatever. I don't know how that works, but your biggest energy uses is starting to stop in motors. We can't even make the VFDs tell the motors to not stop. We spin them at a rate where they're not producing air when we don't want air, but we're not starting from off. We're spinning 20%, 10%. Whatever that number is, we don't have the capability to do that now. It's on and off. It's like a light, on and off. VFD, we have the capability to continuously spin those motors if we want to. That makes the startup energy cost drastically go down.
So Gary, if you were on the board, would you say yes?
I would have said yes 10 years ago when I brought it to you guys.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, you have a ton of VFDs already. I think they know the advantages to them.
Well, one thing's for certain, the price of electricity is not going to go down in the future.
Yeah, and, cost of doing this project's not going to go down either. I mean, drastically.
So the simple reason, though, to do this project is for energy savings. Any other reason?
And compliance.
For what?
And compliance. Nutrient removal is going to be in our back door 2027.
How is this going to fix that?
Right now, what we're doing is over aerating to get rid of ammonia, and with that, the phosphates go through the roof.
So basically better control.
Some control, yes. Total control.
So the energy savings part of that, last month we spent $5,400 on San Isabel. How much energy savings would we get?
You cut that in half at least.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
I know it's about a quarter. Is what we figured.
We'd save 25%?
You're going to save about 25%.
So 25% of $5,500 is what? It's about $1,400.
Yeah.
$1,400 per month.
Times 5 years.
Yeah, so $1,400 per month over 10 months. Is $14,000, mm-hmm. Right? So it's going to take 10 years to pay for it.
$84,000.
Yeah. The other.
Plus, you got to add another 2 months there.
The caveat is what Clint said is that, of course, electricity is going to get more and more expensive.
Yes, what? No, no question.
The other thing that I'm concerned about is your comment about tariffs. If we pulled the trigger on this tonight, can you guarantee us a price pre-tariff, or how does that work?
So the way that we've done business in the past on these bigger jobs is I would require a 50% down payment. Mm-hmm. That buys the parts. But yeah, as soon as I get that, I'm ordering parts.
Can we afford that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We have the money.
That's going to cost him 27 if we have to do a special plan anyway.
What was it, about 95,000 that we had when we refinanced to go to the sewer plant to do this?
Okay.
And that's why it's just been sitting there to move it forward to upgrade the sewer plant.
So is it also, though, is it an upgrade? If we didn't do it, how long would the equipment we have now last?
Well, we still have a compliance issue.
We have, the equipment's going to be the same equipment, Neil, except we're going to actually take care of it better.
So it should make it last longer?
It should last longer.
There's caveats to that, too. Is I don't know how long these blowers have been working. All we're doing is controlling the motor. The motor's connected to the blower. So you got two components there. The VFDs are controlling one of them. We might put this in and fire it up in May, and motor goes out. It's a 10-year-old motor. I mean, that's...
Most of them are 20.
Well, we just redid
one of them.
And I know we did one of them 2 years ago.
Right.
Now the idea is to take them and lengthen the time out, but we're putting these components on 20-year-old components. So it's not guaranteeing that it's going to save on maintenance.
So I hear the non-compliance issue and the tariff issue. I definitely hear that. If I divorce that from the energy savings, it takes us 10 years to pay for it. So no, somehow we've got to get that back to where there's...
Well, that's at current electrical rates also. I think we're behind the curve on this already.
We should have done it already.
We should have done it a long time ago. And most sewer plants that I dealt with on the electrical side did this already to get the peak demand at a later time during the day.
To that point, most wastewater plants are going with like a turbo blower or a way more energy efficient blower than what you guys have. So we're trying to make what you have as efficient as possible without putting in six new blowers.
So if we incorporate your technology, is that going to prohibit us in our, if we wanted to upgrade, let's say like some other sewer plants, will we be handcuffed then? Will we have to get new rheostat motors, whatever?
Well, most, there's 1,000 different blowers out there, right?
Okay.
But most turbo blowers, they come in their own box.
Okay.
They bring them in, set them down. Most of those have their own VFD.
Oh, I see.
So we'd feed them power out of the MCC that's in the office at the wastewater plant. We'd run wires, big, you know, 4-gauge wires, 2-gauge wires, whatever that calls for, over to the new turbo blower, and the turbo blower would take over from there. Has their own VFDs, has their own filters, has their own protections. We just run some wires back for signals so we can see what's going on SCADA.
But to go with that process, it's going to be about 4 times the price.
I can't even guess. Because you have 6 of them. You do, this is speaking out of my wheelhouse, but I don't know that you can break them up and do 2 turbo blowers and leave the other 4 as what you have or not. That's a compliance question, and you know I'm not here to talk about the treatment process.
So if we were to do this, would we be able to be assured that we're not going to have to go to turbo blowers?
I can't make that assumption either. Because like I said, these are 20 years old. So if you do happen to have a blower failure, actual blower, like I said, 2 components, then it's up to to y'all if you want to repair that at X cost, or if you want to upgrade to a different type of blower at X cost. It does concern me to put this much money into 20-year-old blowers. And the other concern that Gary and I was talking about is the heat and the temperature fluctuations in the room where the equipment's going to go. It's $150,000 worth of equipment that we're going to have at 100
minus
degrees.
Minus 10 outside right now.
And minus 10 in this room. There's no HVAC in this room. In my proposal, we're going to put them in their own cabinets. We're going to put 3 VFDs per cabinet, but ambient temperatures, I mean, they are what they are. And the equipment's going to act how it's going to act to it. That's a concern of mine.
The one good thing with this is we should be able to regulate the biosolids in the digesters to where we can press them and place them. As soon as they're dried, we can use them. Right now, we have to let them set and age.
But from what Jensen's saying here, is that it's possible the next thing we'd have to do is work on climate control.
Well, we have the building, it is kind of insulated, but we will have to put these cabinets and build a inside room with heat, which I'm sure it can be done.
We need to pull it off the office.
Yeah, we'll pull it off the office here and dump it in there. But right now, we could go down there right now and put a bottle of water in the blower room and it'll freeze. I mean,
so we're kind of relying on self-generating heat for the warmth. I'm not too awful concerned with the cold. The cabinet's going to be fairly, it's going to be mostly enclosed. It's going to have some conduits and stuff ran into it, but so they should generate their own heat enough in the wintertime to be okay. It's the summers. I mean, how hot does that room get?
Which one? Blower room?
Pretty warm.
I mean, in the summertime it gets really hot, but
so that's where we have the ambient heat and then the heat generated by the equipment themselves enclosed in a cabinet.
Could we put a simple room conditioner, air conditioner in there and do any good?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. All you'd need is a good fan in the summer to draw the heat off. You pull it out and pull up the cabinets.
Well, you have ventilation,
yeah.
Cross ventilation in there that
right.
It can be done too just by putting on a fan in our to push it out.
Yeah, I'm sure there's that this concern can be mitigated. I just want to make it aware that it is a concern. And it's reworking dang near the whole electrical system at the wastewater plant. We have to install pole boxes, have to go from one room to another room. I got to bring 6-foot by 4-foot cabinets down, mount those. I mean, it's a ton of work. It's quite the upgrade for sure.
I'm all for upgrading our system and our infrastructure. It's just that's it. Are we putting on a Band-Aid?
It's not a Band-Aid, but it's a start. Because we're pushing some days, we're at 0.4. There's some days we're pushing 3.7, 3.8. I mean, eventually, with the growth of Colorado City, we're going to have to put in another digester.
Yeah, to Greg's point, yeah, some sort of upgrade is
a start.
Probably overdue. To Neil's point, maybe. Work on what you have, this is your option. If you want to explore doing the major upgrade and saving this money and putting that towards the major upgrade, it might be cost effective. I'm not sure what that would cost. That would probably require an engineer to figure out all the numbers and sizes. And
you're gonna end up spending that much of the money just on an engineer.
So my question is would the VFD baby our motors a little bit better?
No. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I would say yes.
I mean, instead of going 0 to 60?
Start them easier.
Yeah.
Stop them easier.
Okay.
I think if you drive your car, if you go to every stop sign, you floor it.
Yeah.
And just drop the clutch. And then you go to the next stop sign, you slam on the brakes.
That's what I'm thinking.
How long is the car going to last? Yeah.
Kind of like how you drive, sir.
Kathy, my daughter.
Yeah, and that's a good analogy. You know, the VFD is the gas pedal, so you can feather it up to speed. You can let off and let it, you know, slow down to speed.
And what makes them work is the biosolids themselves in the basins. They're gonna do an electric pulse signal that'll go to the VFDs into the PLC and start it up. Mm-hmm. If they don't need oxygen, they'll sit there and oxygen until...
Instead of just coming on automatically.
Right, forced on by the clock.
And right now, I'm having to write a monthly report to CDPHE on what are we doing to upgrade our plant. So they're already looking at that. We need to have something in place by 2027.
Yeah, we're behind the curve.
By when?
By 2027, which is in 2 years.
Next year.
Now, here's another thing I don't know that we talked about. Excuse me. You know, just so we're... You're going to require... You have 6 blowers right now. Correct? You got 3 for the digesters and 3 for the basins. Potentially, 2 turbo blowers can do the work of 6, I don't know what, stator blowers or...
Right. Well, the thing is, we're hard pipes, so we'd have to change the piping as well.
It would have, you'd have to...
Just saying that you may not need 6 turbo blowers.
Probably could get away with 3.
Engineer. Yeah. Not me. Yeah. But I mean, there's.
But then the piping has to.
Yeah, there's other. Yeah.
Separated.
Yeah, that we'll have to fix that, you know. But, or 2 bigger ones. So, but, I'm not sure if it's a band-aid. It's an improvement. But I don't know if we're shooting ourselves in the foot. I can't answer those questions. Just because of the age of the equipment, I'm for it. Not just because I'm doing the work, but VFDs on every motor is standard in my world. Longevity, power savings, everything about a VFD is positive for a motor.
So beyond the issue of installing VFD at all. On your quote, I'm troubled by the $8 a foot for 10-gauge wire and $6 a foot for 16-gauge wire.
Okay.
How come so much?
I'm just going off rolls of wire.
THWN?
THHN.
Okay, THHN. I can buy it at Home Depot for 7 cents a foot.
I buy it all cable. I mean, it spools.
So I guess maybe the question is, is the $6 a foot installed?
Yeah, that's installed price. That's installed and working. You got a SCADA programming, you got...
No, the $6 just for the wire.
Yeah, the whole thing is installed, yes.
For $6 a foot.
The conduits cost what they cost to buy them and hang them. The VFDs cost what they cost to install them.
So basically 600 feet of 16-gauge wire, that $6 a foot is an installed price.
Yeah.
Okay. Truly, you know, I even checked with MasterCar and Grangers and different places and people and Lowe's. You can buy 16-gauge THHN or THWN for anywhere from 30 cents a foot to 70 cents a foot.
Yeah, I mean, if we can do that.
So I guess what I'm asking is, if it's installed, maybe that's okay. But if it's not, if that's what you're paying for wire, then hell with it, I'll buy the wire myself.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, that all every component on there is installed and working.
Okay. All right. Then another question I have is, you spend a lot of time with the plant, and of course at both plants. This is going to be another pretty big load. How are you going to be able to, by yourself, how are you going to be able to do this?
So we're looking to hire this year.
Okay. Those are my questions, Board.
Okay. Going next, water sewer connection agreement. I did put in the one that I had done. I had Ray look at it. He came back and sent me the other one. I was able to put it in Monday morning and send it out to you guys in a new packet. There wasn't too many corrections. It was more punctuation and things like that. That I'm not the English major. Where
I looked and there was nothing on mine that wasn't in there.
Because we sat down and worked on it last Wednesday.
Whenever we did it.
Yeah.
Whenever
day. Then we also went through and looked at the rolls and rakes, and I did send them to look to see the changes, and I figure the next meeting we'll go over the rolls and rakes, and also this, if you guys see this, if there's any changes that you feel that we missed out on for the contract agreement. I also did put in our Appendix A because a lot of when we get to our rules and regs, it is referring to Appendix A. We didn't want to put our prices in this contract agreement because they change as we change them, mm-hmm. or as the board chooses to change them for tap fees and things like that in water prices.
So has there been changes made to the payment of fees section in the rules and regs? Or that's recently look at, or
no? We did that on the rolls and rakes side, okay. And I wanted them to look at it and okay. See that the changes were right. We figured we'd get this in kind of in place first, so that way anybody that comes in and wants to put up a tap that they have to have this first. They don't bring the money in until they get their building permit to put in that tap. And that's how we kind of put it in that the rules and regs. And that's going to also take a public hearing to change their rules and regs too. So okay. What I'll do is I'll set up a public hearing probably for the second meeting in February. So that way we can, by then, we've already went through the rules and regs and already adopted like the road policy and all of that at the same time.
The only thing I see with this that could be a problem is it should say separate ditch lines for sewer and water.
Okay.
It's just a health concern.
Yeah, so in fact, that's one thing I know to do. I guess it, as you mentioned, that still work kind of in the process.
Yeah,
so
it should be a requirement.
One of the things, would you like to have us, we don't want to waste time on tonight as far as just discussion of things. Would you rather we email you or with suggestions or whatever before you bring it to us to the board?
That would be fine. And Ray.
Would that work better rather than beating it up tonight?
Are we talking about the tap, the
connection
agreement?
Just different issues that we notice in it that we'd like
in
to.
The connection agreement.
Yeah, different thing.
Yeah, we sat down, three of us, and worked it over, but.
For example, in the expiration, we need to somehow on the tap fee itself, I guess here we get into it, but we need to say somehow it follows the property, but if the tap fees go up, then we need to have some place in here that explained that they need to pay the additional price.
Well, and that's it. You have 1 year. It's still a 1 year because that's...
We kind of talked about that.
But it goes with the property. So they, if somebody pays a tap that goes with the property and sell the property, does that give them the authority to utilize that tap fee...
For a year.
For 5 years from now?
No.
No. It's for a year.
And not just that, if they sell that property and there are permits in place, then we can't hold you to keeping it that fee. That you can credit them the fee that was paid, but they're going to have to come back and with a new application and pay the new fee.
Yeah.
So does the old fee, do they get credit for the old fee paid?
I believe that's how. Mm-hmm. They'll get credit for the old.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. It doesn't spell that out. That you get credit. It's just
in the rules and regs it does.
Okay.
But
we need to see that.
Even if they filled out an application and they sell the property with the partial tap fee paid, the new owner is going to have to fill out an application. So that application is going to be void anyway. So they're going to have to follow the regs
and pay the additional fee.
If there is an additional fee.
Okay. That's one thing. And then
that's because the agreement's not going to transfer over with the new owner, so they'll have to do the new one.
Okay.
But this was an idea to give to you guys, and that's one thing I can probably put in what Gary's saying, you know, where section 2 is under construction services, that it services need to be in separate ditches or something like that.
How far apart?
Generally, it's 6 foot.
So another thing that, like Gary said, is that Pueblo County's got to get, Pueblo County Health has to get involved here too.
Yeah.
Why do they need to be in? Why? Yeah, I don't understand.
They have, because they have it on their permit application.
No.
We sign off for water and sewer when we do the regional building.
But on their permit sheet, is water line or whatever, they have to inspect that.
I think they do have to state.
Well, they come out and inspect it after it's done.
Right, that should be in here.
Yeah.
But as far as them telling...
No, it's not on the application, but they have to, where we talk about shall not be backfilled until district has approved the installation, it's district and Pueblo County.
And we do the inspection to regional building, we are our inspectors for that.
But they're...
They don't have to inspect it. It's since it's
county health
our system.
County health.
Well, yeah, for pitch. Yeah, they do.
But they
on
also,
that aspect. But
they're not going to get CO until.
One of the other things that we added in there too is backflow. That in all new builds, that backflow for sewer is required, and also PRVs for.
Yeah.
For new builds, and it's at their cost.
And that's good.
Not ours.
Yeah, I think good. Yeah.
Because any more PRV is $60-$70.
Okay. So, as far as coming to us again with it,
we'll have it next meeting. Just make sure you, if you have any changes or whatever, email them to me if you want, and I'll add them in when we have the next meeting and go from there.
All right.
Okay. As for CCAC, my guys have been sick for the last 2 weeks. They didn't have any new builds that were on the agenda. I thought we had one, but this was turned in September, and I think the contractor got hurt or something, and I talked to both the contractor and the owner, and he says, well, he isn't even working with me anymore. And I said, really? So he's still looking for a contractor or whatever. And I said, well, he's got the paperwork in, and there was nothing that I knew because I haven't been able to talk to the guys, so it's on hold anyway.
All right. Be good statement. In order for the business of the board to be conducted in the most effective and expeditious manner, it is necessary that all persons present maintain a demeanor of civility toward the board, staff, and each other. Conduct that appears threatening or aggressive will not be tolerated. Shouting, speaking out of order, or the use of offensive gestures similarly are not acceptable. Such behavior shall constitute the forfeiture of your right to remain in attendance and may, as a point of order brought to the board's attention by council or any board member, including the chairperson, result in your being asked to leave the meeting by the chairperson or, upon your refusal, being escorted out of the meeting by the proper authority. Do we have any?
No. We signed up.
All right. I close the study session and open the record meeting. The Board of Directors of Colorado City Metropolitan District, Tuesday, January 14th at 6:40. If you join me, pledge allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you join in a moment of silent reflection, if you so choose. Thank you. Let the minutes show that we have a quorum. We have one board member on excused absence.
Excused.
Yes. Can I get an approval of the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? How about approval of the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the minutes for study session December 26, 2024, special meeting December 26, 2024, and CCACC minutes December 26, 2024.
Okay. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Bills payable.
I'll make a motion that we pay the bills.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion. Questions?
No. Notice this is a big payout, and if you notice, it is our payment to the bank for our refinancing, which was the $193 billion.
A lot.
So, and we will hand deliver that, or Christy will hand deliver that one.
Not mailed, hand delivered.
Yes. To the bank.
I saw that.
Sorry.
That's fun. I like it though.
Cool. And that's an annual payment, right? They're about this time every year.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why when you see your financials, like up until June, we don't get it back until where we start making money after June.
MasterCard. Josh, home gym.
That's Rec Center.
Did you get a home gym there?
We actually have a gym set up for the employees over there.
Oh.
Most of it is all mine, except there's two. We added two cable towers. I think it was like $300. Got those through work because those are actually attached to the wall.
Okay.
But all the rest of the equipment there is mine. Mm-hmm.
You also have other than employees working out. You have some kids that come over and do it too.
Yeah.
Instead of driving.
So that's basically replacements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. In MasterCard, freshwater system. What's a freshwater system for the treatment plant? Water treatment plant.
What?
Fresh water.
For $272. Freshwater system.
Hold on.
I'll tell you in just a second. That was parts going into rebuilding a...
It should have been defined different.
PVC, black pipe.
It was parts.
What it was...
Connector.
Yeah.
They're quarter inch elbows that slide in, that the black pipe goes into, and as time goes on, they crystallize. So we ordered elbows, unions, black pipe, so that it can all be replaced, and as they go out, we fix them.
The chemicals will eat fittings, and so that's what that is.
All right.
And there, we got like 500 of them.
Call the Department of Natural Resources for roads, $809.
That's the permit.
Oh, yeah. We have that reimbursed.
We get it reimbursed.
That's for our gravel pit. That's our permit for the gravel pit, at which time we send that back to Pueblo County, and they reimburse us.
They reimburse us.
All right. Okay. Furnace repair. It's under construction?
Yes, what happened is the furnace at the rec center. Josh has band-aided it for 2 years. Finally, it has went out the gas valve in it, and it sold that. We just couldn't replace it with that gas valve. The bonnet and stuff was
for where?
For the rec center.
Rec center, okay.
And it was a full replacement, not a repair.
Yeah.
So did they replace the whole furnace?
Yes.
Okay.
The bonnet was almost shot too. We didn't want to have carbon dioxide going into the building.
Okay. All right, that's all I had. Board? All right, let's vote to pay the bills. Clint?
Yes.
Sarah?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Ray?
Yes.
Okay, we'll pay the bills.
Okay, operational reports. First week of the barometer readings, they pretty much stayed the same. I'll read them since it's the first week. P1-2 is at 17.9, P3 is void, P4 is 28, P5 is 18.5, P6 is at 26.1, P11 was 8 foot, it was dry, P12 is at 21.4, level of the lake is back at 14.4, so we're under restriction until we got the snow, so we're back up again. As for our weekly report, 14.4, 4 inch was dry, 6 inch was 1 minute, is at 850 millimeters. The seep had snow in it, wear was at 0.1, and pit is dry. Report for our Holly Dot. The end of the year, at the end of December of 2024, was $16,074, compared to last year for December was $3,837. For the total year, we were at $557,752 compared to 23, which we were at $490,811. So we had about a $60,000 gain there. 2024 ended up being a great year. We have been able to attract more golfers from all over, and our ad campaigns and word of mouth. What matters most is the fact that we have been able to retain golfers that come play our course. This can be attributed to both sides of golf course maintenance and pro shop. By providing great customer service and having well manicured golf course, we have become a destination for everyone to enjoy. As for the maintenance side, shop work, winterizing maintenance on equipment. We also received two more Jacobson Green Kings pours that were delivered right at the end of the year to add to our inventory. So I think right now he has, what, eight?
Eight
green mowers that he is not lacking equipment. Parks and Rec. Day to day, most of our mowing equipment is serviced and ready to go for spring. Removed several trees around the pole and garden area that were hanging over the fence and shed. They cut and hauled off a tree that came down at the lake. The furnace was in the shop, quit working. They had it replaced. Basketball practice begins yesterday. The season is biggest turnout we have had for any sport with 118 participants. Games are scheduled to begin January 25th and run through February. He also put in that he's proposing to change the rec center pricing. Right now, Josh, you charge $75 for the day?
Half day, $125 for the whole day.
For the whole day.
He's I just realized I made a mistake on there too, that $125 that I'm proposing should be for 2 hours, not per hour.
That's for 2 hours?
Yeah, for 2 hours.
Okay. One of the problems, if you read down through there, is, you know, he's had problems with people using the equipment and things which they shouldn't have. To recover a pool table anymore is about $400. So if somebody tore the felt in it, and without having anybody supervising, it could ruin our equipment. So with this, it allows somebody to go in to have somebody sitting there watching and making sure and supervising the area. Plus also, it's for the cleanup too after that, right?
Yeah.
That's probably good for liability on our part too, to have a staff member there.
People don't clean up and supervise themselves?
Most people are good. That's the ones that aren't, that's horrible. I went in November, we had, it was actually a memorial service.
Wow.
And the whole building smelled so bad like weed, I couldn't even sit in my office.
So.
Do you take a deposit?
We used to, but then we've had issues because not a really easy way to do it, to accept money and then refund people's money.
Yeah.
With our process of having them make them a vendor before we can cut them a check back.
I see. Yeah.
So can, with that, can we have them write a check?
Just hold it.
And hold it and when get through. But this way it don't, we don't have to worry about that because they're going to be taking care of the cleanup anyway.
That's how we used to do it. Not cash the check unless we. I was told we couldn't do that by somebody else.
And I think we should do it.
Yeah. I agree.
So have you been pretty well booked? Are you? You stay pretty busy?
It's not that busy. Most of our use over there is like the nonprofit groups that just want to have a meeting here or there, and we haven't had any issues with them.
And usually with the nonprofits, you don't. Charging, do you?
No, we just let them live, so.
But they're pretty good at cleaning themselves.
And they're not really having a party when they're making a mess.
No weed?
No, not yet.
You got to wash clothes, quilt.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Okay. So then we got water and sewer for November 25th through. Excuse me, December 25th, Beckwith plant produced 13.2 million gallons. Cold Springs produced 2.5 million. We now have cellular tracking of main plant and tanks. All plant mechanical problems have been addressed and repaired. Ellen and Jason have cleaned and pinned all of our spare filters. Jim with NOCO had acquired 500 used filters from Carter Lake. Big thanks should be sent from our board for the filters, as the price will be zero. January 10th, power transformer melted down, shutting down Cold Springs for the day. Plant was stuck in a chlorine site CIP. When power was back, skid had to be neutralized before putting it back into service. Wastewater plant received 9.2 million gallons of wastewater treated and returned 9.4 million gallons. These flows are at 60% of water produced at the water plant. We are just below the national average. We will begin to pull our yearly samples for both water and wastewater. Should be completed by the end of January. Utility crew also, with snow removal, replaced 2 meters, jetted 1.5 miles of line, and completed 2 sewer taps and water taps. And then with water and sewer. That's all I have for operational.
Go ahead.
So I think that you should create a letter thanking those people at Carter Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that each one of the board members should drop by and sign it.
Okay.
That would
do that when I get back from vacation.
Okay. You had to bring that up one more time.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
So I'm working right next to it.
Yeah, sure.
So this says
it's been a year.
100 or 500 filters?
500 filters, and actually they had like 2,000 of them. And Mr. Jensen is probably going to haul them for us for just what gas prices?
Yeah, it'd probably be on a like a service day when I'm coming down. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. When I'm coming down for service, anyhow, I have an enclosed trailer. So how many ever I'm told to get, I'll run up there, grab them, bring them down with me, and I'm not going to charge you guys for it.
Cool. We did buy them the bags and a sealer so that they actually pulling them out, keeping them in water, putting them in the bag, sealing it up, putting it back in the boxes and putting them in the crates. And when they get 500 of them, we'll send them, we'll let them know, and they'll load them up and we'll bring them down. And then we'll pull them out of the bags, clean them, hit them, and so that way we have extras on hand until we get to that point of where we need to buy one. Usually when we buy filters, it costs us about $160,000 for 142
or something.
40 or 150 of them. So it will give us enough rotation for about
a couple of years.
Yeah.
They're like 1,300
apiece
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So.
Okay, Jim. Committee reports. So, am I up for newsletter?
Yeah, I believe so. I think you're the next one.
Okay. And then, I guess.
Then after that, I think it goes back to Ray.
To Ray, yeah.
Yeah.
As far as the committee reports, the committee basically on the. You guys are still working on the water and sewer.
Rolls and
rigs.
For water and sewer, yes.
Okay. No attorney's report?
Nope. We did have a meeting today with the CWPHE, or CPHE, whatever.
State Health Department.
With the water department. And we kind of baffled them a little bit. I had some questions, you know, with the situation being that the WSRF is not willing to pay for a 3 million gallon plant. So if we went to a 2 million gallon plant, take one of the skids out of the equation, we're still going to have the building the same size. And after this project is done, maybe that $1 million, throw in the extra skid, so we'll make it the 3 million gallon plant in the far future. So we're still working through a lot of aspects with it. We also had a meeting, Carolyn and Daniel and I had two different financing to see if we can finance it, what it would cost, and I have a follow-up meeting tomorrow with one of them, and the other one sent me information as to what it would cost annually for us to borrow enough money to cover the pretreatment and the dam, which was about $17 million.
The DAF and the dam.
DAF and dam.
Yeah.
$17 million would be almost $1 million a year in payment for 30 years. So we're trying to appease to get both. I did talk to USDA. We resubmitted our application for the whole $18 million. Their interest rate right now is at 2.5 for us, and whereas if we financed it through somebody else, it would be 4.5. So we're looking at all options and which way we want to go and how we can do it and what's going to be the best way to go.
Where do we stand with the water loss issue?
We're still looking. I know Aiden to date, or this last week, he was down in North Park because we do have some of that water that's coming that isn't groundwater, that it has like 2% chlorine in it. So we're residual in it. And so we're trying to figure out where is it coming. Is it coming from up high and dropping into the golf course?
So where did Aiden find this water?
He pulled
the gravity sewer.
It's in the old sewer line.
Oh. Around the golf course. That they pulled the water in, and that's where we're getting the chlorine residual in it. So there's got to be a leak someplace. It hasn't come to the ground yet. It could be in this bedrock that it's just flowing. It could be a leak that's up around the lake that it's caught a vein that's going down and settling in that valley.
I mean, as far as the state being concerned about that, have they brought that up again? Or
no, they didn't bring that up. They understand that that it is, that we do have leaks, and that we have been working on it to try and find them. And that's all we can do at this point. You know, we've found probably, because we were almost at 100% loss there for a while, where we were producing 20 million gallons, and we were charging for 10. So now we're at that point where we're slowly finding it, but there's still, we don't know whether it's death by a thousand needles or is there a big break someplace. It isn't a big enough break to surface.
So I guess my, and I'll leave it alone after this, but if he's finding water in a vacant sewer line that's 2% residual chlorine, is it a lot of water? Is it a heavy flow or is it a
no
trickle?
It's
got to be at least
5 to 15 GPM. About 7 GPM.
Okay.
I have a weir that we can check all the time, and it never changes.
So we just got a bona fide leak somewhere that just keeps leaking.
Yeah, and
it could be multiple leaks all over that are in this area.
Who knows?
Because you're in the low area of the valley here.
Yeah, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, but no, as far as the flow, it never changes. It stays the same year round.
Jeez.
And we still don't know if we're losing water into the horse ranch or not.
No. I know they're still working on it. I know their lawyer, the two over there, are looking at either a well or whatever to go forward.
But we don't know. Do we have it completely shut off? We don't know that.
Which
we've got every valve that I know about off. And other than that...
I had somebody call me that her husband was doing work down there and the water was off. And I told them to contact Aiden to see, because it was down in South Park in that area, to see if there was one of these lines. And that was today. So we may have them shut off and their finding lines are turned off.
In South Park or in Stewart?
They said South Park, but I don't know the address exactly. We were talking, her to me, her boyfriend, and me to Aiden. So I told them to give the boyfriend Aiden's number so they could reconnect to find out exactly where we were talking. But she was saying somewhere in South Park. And we had nothing turned off down there at that time. So it may have been this, what?
Maybe part of the ranch.
Somebody was turned off that we didn't turn off.
Yep.
It could be the party house, it could be whatever. But as far as South Park is concerned, everybody has water. Mm-hmm. It's the intersection, inner part of that I have everything shut off.
That you know of? All the valves?
That I know of. I've got every valve I know of off.
And they're keeping tight-lipped about it.
Okay, let's get on to the...
Yes, I never see anybody hauling water, so I don't know.
Yeah, so where's the horse ranch getting water?
I have no idea. Somebody's got to be hauling water.
Or they're not living down there. Because I know...
Old abandoned wells in there.
Because Gary really doesn't live down there anymore.
Yeah.
He has a place in Pueblo, though, too.
Right, but no, he's still down there.
And they're still...
And Deanna isn't... She's in and out of there. I don't know whether there's anybody living in any of the houses.
I know about you.
The party house still has somebody in it.
All right, let's get on to agenda items.
Okay, agenda items. Resolution 1-2025, designated polling places.
Mr. Chairman, make a motion. We approve Resolution 1-2025, designated posting places.
Can I get a second?
Okay.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, next I have Resolution 2-2025, designated meeting dates for 2024.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 2-2025, designating meeting dates for 2025.
Yeah, date change.
Yep, I see that.
I'll second.
Was that a second you said?
I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Discussion? Questions? Let's vote. Everybody in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Okay, Resolution 3-2025 election. Like I said, we want to put in a DEO.
Can we don't have a DEO, so we either need to appoint one tonight or not do this until next meeting.
I would do, yeah.
Do I have a motion and a designated DEO?
Okay, I'll throw this out there. Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve Resolution 3-2025 with Jim Meir as the election DEO.
Jim Acker.
Okay.
Moved and seconded. Questions? Do we need an assistant?
That's what I was thinking. You're probably putting Sandy as an assistant. Or so that way she can accept the app, well, I'm not here, or whatever, and then...
So would you amend your motion to to include Sandy as an assistant.
Do we have to?
I would.
Okay.
We do need an assistant.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I would like to amend my motion for Resolution 3-2025. I would like to propose Resolution 3-2025 for the election to include Jim Ecker as DEO and an election assistant.
Sandy.
Sandy, or for sure?
Oglesby.
I know, but for sure?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah.
Sandy Oglesby.
Second.
I was. So.
I got no more time.
Did you second it?
Yeah.
Second? Okay. Any questions? Discussion?
I want to just make a point on item two here in that resolution. Mm-hmm. It makes it look like you're having the election on May 6th between 7 and 7. I would like number two to say the election shall be concurrently conducted as a mail ballot election because it's both. Am I correct there?
What's that now?
Item two?
Yeah. It just, the way it reads, it's like, it says the election's going to be on May 6th, okay? That makes sense because people are going to be able to walk in and vote. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. No, it's mail only, isn't it?
It's mail only, so how does that 7-7 thing work then?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be 7:30 to 7?
I don't know about that.
Well, it just needs to be received by a certain time.
Yeah, that's...
Wouldn't that be just like a drop-off, whether it be at the library or here, Ray?
Well, that's what I'm asking, because I was wondering if people could actually come in and vote. This kind of implies that you can do that. Is people have to drop off their mail-in ballot?
I think if we put drop-off box at library for that day.
Okay, so they have to take a mail-in ballot. They get a ballot in mail,
mm-hmm.
and then they fill it out, and then they have to go to the library.
No, I don't think so.
Well, how does it work then?
Well, I think this is incorrect. If the mail-in ballot, you can mail it. It's going to be, you can pre-mail it.
Yeah.
So,
either or. It's because you have election shall be conducted as a mail ballot election in accordance with all.
Right. Yeah.
So
item one is incorrect.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So there is no place you can walk in and just vote without handling a.
Nope.
Oh. Okay.
That will have to be revised. It reads
that way that it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since the election changed us not being a balloting place, and leaving the drop box now at the library, I think they still will have people manning the poll at the library like they always did here. So it'd be.
So we just need to. Can we vote on this next meeting?
Yeah, let's fix it. That needs to be fixed.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just
we can
fix
do that.
It. Get it right.
Yeah.
You're still
we'll do that.
So.
Mr. Chairman,
we need
like
to vote down that okay. motion. And then,
what do you want to do?
We need to vote this. Vote on this one.
This way, I can get a full understanding from the county clerk and how they're going to do that. If they're going to man a poll at the library.
Okay.
So we need to vote, and then fix this before we deal with it. So let's vote on this one. On your motion, we're going to vote on your motion as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I vote no. Sarah?
No.
Clint?
No.
Ray?
No.
Okay.
No problem.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept the ACE proposal for the Springhead project.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion, questions? No, we beat it up already. I think Jensen already gave us a proposals. Clint, how do you vote?
Yes.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Chair votes yes. Okay.
Okay, CCAAC, I have nothing from them at this point. Old business. We talked a little bit about North Park Water. We're still waiting on him. Water lease, I had a call in to Maren. I haven't been able to get in touch with him. Tried Friday and today. I'll try him again tomorrow and see if I could get any news on that. We talked a little about the water loss, sewer rat. Haven't contacted him. Wages, we're still working on it. Hydrant flushing, it's too cold to be doing that. The shaver, he still hasn't got back to me on whether he's done anything there. We need to get with him, see where we're at in his rotation. County decision on ATVs, I believe it has passed. I did talk to Sheriff Lucero, and he said that the board approved it, the county commissioners approved it, but it has to go through their 30-day waiting period or whatever, too, since it was a change.
Go ahead.
One other thing while repair, 18-hole, they came down and fixed it. It's up and running again. No issues with it. They're still evaluating Rodeo Well. I do have pictures of it. If you want to come in and look at it, he did send me a video of what went wrong with it. The pipe in it has collapsed. It's jagged edged. So when he put the baler down there and pulling it back up, it caught the jagged edge of the casing, and that's why he can't get it out. They can't figure out how to do it. He's working with his guys still to try and figure out how they can do it. I did ask him questions on if we did case it, if we could just line it for the 40 or 50 feet, he was going to see what it would be. It's kind of like the same situation with the dual well. If we were able to just put a casing in it for a certain distance, that way we could shut it off and put a pump back into it and go forward. He thinks that would work. He says there's some chance of it that you can end up exploding that casing if it's in too bad a shape, because what it is they like put a corrugated pipe down it, and then they put in like a balloon that takes that corrugation and makes it smooth to tighten up around that casing as a liner.
But first he's got to get some gear out of there, right?
Well, it's deep enough that he thinks that he can drop that baler in there and it ain't going to affect us.
We might lose 10 feet.
Yeah, he says between the two of them, they're so deep and they're almost like a spring because they're running water all the time, whether it be the dual well or the rodeo.
Okay.
There's water.
It's basically a free-flowing well.
Yeah.
But to lose 10 feet is not going to hurt us at all.
Because the static level is at zero.
I have to keep if we don't use the well, I got to keep a valve open, or it just floods up.
So it's artesian almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're so low. The only reason we put a pump in them is so we can pump it up to the lake. Because it won't go up that high.
One thing.
Go ahead.
I'd still like to, for everybody, I'd still like to let us be thinking about hiring a subcontractor to replace meters in Applewood.
And we are on that.
Okay.
Aiden has it. Because the next meeting, he should have his information together.
It sounds like an on-again, off-again thing with the state about water loss. I don't know where they're going to go next time.
Yeah.
Can we propose a tentative start date on changing those meters?
Well,
after the thaw's out a little?
Yeah.
In the spring?
One of the things that Aiden came back with in the reason the price is going to be so high is every road cut that we do is going to be $1,500. Mm-hmm. And if you have 80 meters that need to be changed out that are deep and old and we have to do a road cut on it, that's where our biggest problem is. Yeah.
We don't know that number though, do we?
No, and that's what they're gathering that information together.
Okay.
Jim, on the sewer rep,
mm-hmm.
We need to get a report.
Okay. I will. It probably won't be next meeting, but the following meeting.
Okay,
I'll
we need.
Make
but
sure
we need.
We
need to get some action from him and giving us a report on our sewer line.
Like I said, he does. We do have a map through
yeah,
sewer.
Yeah, but he should have a
shows
report.
Shows exactly how much they've done and where we're at with it so far.
Okay, anything else? New business. Anybody have any new business?
We've got communications.
Bring that up.
I did go into Pueblo County to the commissioners and request money for new windows and doors for the golf course. I asked for 120 and we were granted 90. So that's that process. I know Valley First, I think Misty went in and asked for $100,000 there, and they awarded her $50,000 for the ballparks and the field. So we're on our way into it. She also did a webinar with GOCO. She did an excellent job, and they're at this point, we're at the next stage, which we haven't made it that far with GOCO for 10 years. And it looks like we will be getting money from them, and that's $600,000 for the track and field for the next project. Two of them.
So this communication that you got is about the $90,000 that we did get?
Yes.
So good job.
So we'll be looking at that going forward to...
And that's conservation trust funds?
Yes, CTF. So also with that, you know, we might not get the 120 that I asked for, but we do have CTF money that we have that can go forward with that, or even have some of the profits that we made this year for to have for matching. So we'll be probably coming back to the board for some money either way through CTF, our CTF fund, or using some of our savings for the golf. If you noticed also in your appendix, the golf prices changed in that. Mm-hmm. We did add the increases for memberships and play.
Yeah, I noticed there was $600 for personal cart.
Yes.
I didn't see a price for using the club cart.
It's the same. So if you,
I know it's the same, but there wasn't. I mean, if you get a membership for $600,
mm-hmm.
I just didn't see the. Not that it matters, but
it's still $600 if you. It'd be $1,200 for a membership and the cart use.
Oh, okay.
For yeah. our cart.
Yeah, I just said personal cart, and I didn't. Okay.
It's for both.
Sure, that's going to be asked.
Yeah, we're losing out on a personal cart, but we're still going to charge them the $600
yeah.
to use their cart if they want to use theirs instead of ours. And we don't have to do the maintenance.
Yeah, no, that's good.
All right, anybody have anything else?
Other audio, is there anything?
I haven't found anything yet that other than... Greg was supposed to bring in iPad to see if we could do it that way, and he hadn't been able to. And maybe next meeting or the meeting after, I can bring in Sam. I bought her an iPad, and we'll see if we can do it that way. Tie everybody into the Zoom, so everybody has their own pad.
Can you borrow one?
Not right now.
Not right now, because we're about ready to close.
Sorry, we're listening again.
Yeah, but I haven't had a chance with that. With the end of the year ending up with the audit inventories, Christy's been pulling her out. Auditors are calling us on Saturdays and Sundays, and they're working 7 days a week to get that finished up too. So.
I did
have a full report.
I did talk to the auditors, and they commented that Christy's doing a good job.
Right on.
She's doing an excellent job. So, just a good one.
Anything else? Somebody give me a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Move to a second.
Come on, get it harder.
Nobody leave.